All right, everybody, and welcome to episode 28, I think. Man, I need to keep better track of the numbers. Anyways, we're going here soon. All right, everybody, welcome to this episode. I'm not going to hazard a guess exactly which one it is. I know, I probably should know. I don't know. That's my track record, not knowing what episode it is. It's either 28 or 29, this particular episode. And that's not really the important thing, right? The important thing is, what are we going to talk about? So I'm learning, just, you know, move on. So what we're going to talk about today, I had a bit of information request of a topic that somebody wanted to hear a little bit more about. And that is awesome. That's really what we want. And that's what I'm aiming for, is I really want people to engage with us and send their requests. And this topic, or these topics, I'm not even sure if we've covered them before. I think we've covered some of them, but I don't care, right? If you want to know, we'll go over it again. It's, maybe I wasn't memorable enough the first time we did it. So, we'll try to make it a little more informative and memorable this second time around. So we are the middle of May 2018, and we are a couple weeks away from our virtual 5K, which is awesome. We've had, I think we've had like 13 people confirm, which is about what we had last fall. You know what? Yeah, I'd love more, but we'll take what we can get, and we're happy that those individuals who are confirmed are going to participate. And the cool thing is we've got a variety. You know, we've got a handful in my local area, but we've also got some individuals from the West Coast, which is really good too. So we want to make it a coast-to-coast-to-coast thing. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks we can get a few more that will come in. But, you know, you run what you brung, they say in NASCAR terminology. Bring in that terminology here too. So anyways, I digress. We'll move on. But yeah, the virtual 5K, there's still time to sign up for it. I can't guarantee, there won't be a guarantee of a hat, because we had to put our numbers in already. We've, you know, forewarned you about that. So you can still sign up and you'll still be eligible to win the door prize. And I don't think I've told everybody what the door prize is yet, but we'll tell them maybe just before the event. It's pretty cool. I think it's pretty cool anyways. So if you want to register, head on over to our WordPress blog, which would be https://ccbhealthandfitness.wordpress.com. And if you have any questions about that, or you can't find it, just let me know and we'll hunt it down for you. So moving on, what we're going to chat about today, we're going to chat about a couple sort of odds and ends. And the first two are ones I think we've covered before, but we're going to go over it again just to make sure you guys you're good with it. So the topic came up about warming up and cooling down. So I know I've done a video on this, but again, not positive on the podcasting side. So warming up and cooling down is really important in terms of any physical activity. So, you know, the way you want to think about it is your body structure, right? So your structure is your skeleton, your bones, and they're all held together by ligaments, which hold bone to bone, and your muscles attach to the bone and pull on the bone to help you move, and they're attached by tendons. Anyways, you need to think of your muscles in terms of maybe an elastic band, right? It seems to be the best analogy that most people can kind of grasp and make sense to them. So if you have an elastic band, and either it's an old elastic band, kind of rotted out and kind of cracked and whatever, or a cold elastic band, and you go to stretch it, it's going to go snap, and it's going to snap really quickly and really easily, right? That's kind of the same thing with muscles. If they're basically underused and, you know, kind of not cracked, but just kind of in a rough shape, and you go to exert yourself without, you know, proper conditioning, you're going to hurt yourself, right? But we're talking more today about warming up. So even if you're a high-end athlete, and I speak at this from unfortunate experience many years ago, where, you know, you could be at the top of your game, but if you don't take the time to properly warm up, you could hurt yourself. So, you know, you you think of it as a cold elastic band. So that cold elastic band's like a cold muscle. The fibers aren't ready to stretch and be pulled and be fully active yet. So you need to sort of get them woken up and get the blood flowing through them to really get them ready for movement. So again, speaking from unfortunate experience, many years ago, I had to go do a track workout and I was just grumpy and it was just wasn't, I didn't want to do it. I was just in a bad headspace and I got my wife to drive me to the track and grumble, get on the track and didn't even bother warming up. And usually for those that are runners, you'll know that track workouts generally mean speed workouts, and speed workouts generally mean more explosive, higher intensity, faster activities. They're the ones that you don't really ease into. That's kind of full on the gas right away. Well, I was full on the gas right away without a warm up, and halfway through had this little twinge, and you know, because I was still grumpy and you know, just made a horrible decisions, I kept going, and by the end of that workout, I had a full blown injury that lasted me 5 months, and to this day I still have a bit of twinge in those particular muscles. And this was back in 2013. So yeah, you learn your lesson, or you try to learn your lesson. And I think I did, knock on wood. So the key there is I didn't bother warming up. I didn't bother getting my muscles, ready and prepared for activity. I didn't get the blood flowing. So the proper way to do that, counter to what most people think, is not the lean up against the wall and stretch, right? That's what you've seen and you've done in gym class, where you'd lean up against the wall, you know, you'd put your foot behind you, you drop your heel down, you know, you're stretching your calf muscle, or you pull your foot up to your butt and you stretch your quads in the front, or, you know, you grab your elbow and you pull over the top of your head and you hold it. Those are fine, but they are fine actually at the end of the workout. All right, and we'll get to that in a second. That's called a static stretch, and that's a stretch and hold. Static meaning not moving. So you're stretching it, and you're putting a stretch on it, and you're holding it there, right? So you think of an elastic band. You take a cold elastic band, and you pull it, and then you just hold it there. That's the same thing you're doing with a cold muscle. And yeah, you do that a little too far with a cold muscle, and you're going to have some issues, right? So what we want to do at the beginning for a warm-up is called a dynamic stretch, okay? So those are the things where you see the arm swings, round and round or across your body. You see people doing side steps or kind of hopping up and down. Those are the things where you're stretching the muscle very lightly through motion. So you're not going to go in a big deep stretch. You're not going to pull really hard and try to get a really hurtful stretch, right? And again, that's the other thing. Pain is an indicator you're going a little too far. So we don't want pain. So with a dynamic stretch, you know, you do arm circles. So you start off real small, right? And as you feel that tension release, you go bigger and bigger and bigger. Same with, one of my big ones, because my injury that I had was a hip injury. So the big thing I like to do is open up my hips. So what I do is you can either march in place or you do steps forward and back. So I take a step forward with my right leg and then back to the middle, and then take a step forward with my left leg, and I alternate that, and I'm feeling the stretch through my hips. And as I feel I'm warming up and my muscles are loosening up, I'll lengthen that step that I take. Okay. And I know when to do that, because the first couple steps that are really small, you know, they might only be like 6 or 8 inches deep. I can feel the tightness in my hip from that old injury. So I'll take, you know, a few shorter steps. And as I feel the tension releasing, then I'll increase the length of those steps. So hopefully that sort of makes sense. And then I'll go into a side step. So I'll take a step to my right and then back to middle, take a step to my left, back to middle, etc. So that's what I do to open up my hips. And then the arm circles to open up my shoulders and chest and whatever. So that's a question that came up as well. Well, how long do you do the warm-up for? Well, hopefully you've got a glimpse of it there. Is if I told you to do it for 5 minutes, but you still were feeling tension, that means you're not warmed up, right? But if I said do it for 5 minutes and after 45 seconds, you know, you were feeling great, you were feeling limber, etc., yeah, you're probably ready to go. I wouldn't quite rely on 45 seconds. I'd, you know, make sure you're you're really not feeling any tension before you get into your activity, especially if your activity is going to be something that's really fast and dynamic and really quick motions. You know, there's some people that are out there playing goalball or ice hockey or, you know, even curling, right? When we curl and you're kind of contorting yourself in different positions, you really want to make sure you're good and warmed up. That's something you can really hurt yourself if you're not quite warmed up. You know, in my sport of swimming or cycling or running, usually these are things that you can sort of ease into a little bit better. So, you know, my warm-up maybe isn't as thorough, but usually the workouts you're sort of easing into. So that's another hint too. If you're doing something that's really strenuous right off the bat, a longer warm-up. So for an example, swim, bike, run, if you're kind of easing into that workout, you know, your warm-up doesn't have to be as thorough. But if you're doing something like a track workout, or goalball or ice hockey, dragon boating, I know is a big one. Well, you're going to be full on, right? You're going to be paddling really hard right off the bat. So really making sure you're warmed up. Even golf, you know, golf seems not terrible, but it's somewhat of an explosive sport, right? And if you're really tight and tense, you know, you could tear some stuff. So hopefully that adds a bit of clarity to how long you should do your warm up. Really, it depends on how much tension you're feeling. All right. So then we go into the cool down. Well, the cool down is essentially the same thing. So if you think of doing this workout and all the blood or a vast majority of blood is in your muscles and when you're exercising, you know, waste product is created, you know, as energy is burned within your muscles, there's waste product like lactic acid, etc. And if you were just to stop, all of that just kind of sits there. And all those toxins, all the byproducts, I should say, from exercise, from the energy being metabolized within your muscles, will just sit there. And it'll really cause a lot of delayed onset muscle soreness, which people have heard of before, called DOMS, D-O-M-S, delayed onset muscle soreness. And that's the soreness you feel like 2 days later. You know, you're super duper stiff. Part of that can be negated by doing a really thorough cool down. So again, if you've went for a run, then going for like a 5 or 10 minute brisk walk after and really kind of flushing out the legs, keeping the blood moving through those muscles, but slowing down your heart rate and getting, you know, everything kind of calmed down. And you see a lot of hockey players after a hockey game, they'll go out and they'll ride their stationary bikes, right? And they're doing that not because they need more fitness. They're doing that to really flesh out the legs and really, you know, get the heart rate down and sort of help that recovery process. So really, a cool down is sort of the same thing. If you still feel like your heart rate's really high and you're still sweating profusely, etc., and your legs are really heavy, then just go for a walk or ride the stationary bike really lightly, really, really lightly, just to kind of ease everything back. And then you can engage in those static stretches, all right? Those are the stretches, the stretch and hold. And that's fine to do now after the workout because you're super warm, right? It's just like a warm elastic band. You can stretch it a really, really long way before anything really bad happens. So those static stretches now are more beneficial. And you would do that by, you know, taking your, let's say your elbow above your head and pulling. Well, you would take that elbow and you'd pull and you would hold that for maybe 20, 30 seconds. But the first time you do that, you're not going to pull really, really far. You're going to pull till you feel a really light tension. Hold it there for about 30 seconds. Let it go. Do the other arm, right, for 30 seconds. And then go back and repeat that again for each limb. So you want to go at least 2 times per limb. And what you'll find is that second time with a static stretch, you're going to be able to go a lot further. You should be able to go generally further. But if you can't, I mean, don't stress about it. The whole key with all of this is pain, like somebody is tearing your muscle or stabbing you with a pen, means something is not quite right and means you're going a little too far. So warming up especially, you got to really be patient and not force it. Otherwise, you totally defeat the purpose of warming up by, you know, injuring yourself during a warm-up, which is possible because people are not patient. So being patient and taking that time to do a proper warm-up is key. So hopefully that answers the question that was out there. And if you have more questions, feel free to contact me. I mean, if I need to explain it in a different way or sort of help you understand it in a different way, or if you have a more specific question around that, that's absolutely okay. So The other question that came around was BMI. So that's body mass index. And, you know, that's, it's a bit of a sore spot for me, and I'll kind of tell you why. And, you know, a lot of charts out there on the blood pressure machines, they have the blood pressure chart, then they have a BMI chart, your body mass index, you know, how your height to weight ratio, right? Are you overweight for the height that you are? And people, you know, you'll go to your doctor and they'll have the same thing. He'll pull out this chart and he'll put a ruler down and he'll line up your height on one side and he'll line up your weight and he'll draw this diagonal line across and it'll intersect with this number called BMI. And to be honest, I have no idea what a good BMI or a bad BMI is on that scale. Reason being is I think, personally, and from my professional side of things, I don't believe BMI is an accurate measure, right? I think it is something that gets you within, gets you within the ballpark, okay? Where it works is if you are on the extreme scale, right? Extreme end of the scale. So if you are 5'5 and 300 pounds, a guy or a girl, you're 99.99999% of the time, you're going to be, you know, at a really high health risk, right? There's no sort of middle ground argument there because, you know, even if you're muscle bound, and we'll get into why, you know, where you could argue this, even if you're muscle bound, generally, even these, you know, hardcore Olympic weightlifters, if they're 5'5, I'm really quite sure they're not going to be 300 pounds, right? So if you're on the really extreme end of the BMI scale, yeah, you know, it's more used as a scare tactic, I believe, in all honesty. You know, and back years ago when this was created, they really believed that it was accurate, right? And I think it's, again, they're trying to use it as a motivational tool, but what I find is it's not motivational. I find that it just beats people down because most people aren't on the way extreme ends of the scale. Most people are kind of in the middle. And the body mass index is just that. It takes into account your body mass, but it doesn't really take into account what that mass is made up of, all right? So for me, the example I really like to use is two individuals so you want to picture this, right? Two guys, let's say, both are 6 feet tall, both are 220 pounds, right? The body mass index is going to indicate to us that both of them are in the equal level of health, right? They're in the equal level of risk range for chronic disease and you know, all the things that go along with being overweight. Excuse me. The key there is these two individuals, these two gentlemen who are 6 feet tall, 220 pounds, could be extremely different in their risk factors, in their physique, just in who they are in general. So one could be 6 foot tall, 220 pounds, could have a lot of adipose tissue, so a lot of body fat, right? He could be shaped like an apple, right? He just round, could have horrible muscle mass, like basically no muscle mass, mostly body fat, could eat terribly, could be sedentary, so doesn't do any exercise, but he's 6 foot tall, 220 pounds. On the other hand, this other gentleman beside him could be, let's say, a hockey player. That seems to be a general kind of range for hockey players, in 6 foot tall, 220-ish pounds, right? So this individual could eat better, could have a ton of muscle mass, could have very low body fat percentage, could have really strong, thick bones, could, you know, be at a really low risk for diseases. But the body mass index is saying they're both identical, okay? So to me, that's the immediate picture that pops into my mind when somebody talks about body mass index. You know, I've been to doctors before that'll pull out a body mass index for me. And just for an example, I'm 6 feet tall. Well, okay, I'm 5'11 and a half. So 5'11 and a half, I'm about, you know, right about now, about 162 pounds. So what, and this is important because years ago when I went to see a physician, I won't say where and when, but exactly, but went to see a physician, and the physician told me that, pulled out the body mass index and told me that I could lose weight. And at this time, I was probably about 8 pounds lighter, right? I was probably about 154-ish. And I honestly, at that time, had kind of a skewed sense of body image. You know, I was still a triathlete. I was earlier, you know, in my triathlon career, and I had this whole skewed image of, you know, the lighter, the better, the lighter, the better. You know, my poor wife was scared because she could see like every rib and every like muscle sinew. And to me, I thought, oh, this is amazing. But, you know, as we get older and smarter, you know, we change our thinking. And I remember that because I'm 154 pounds, 5'11 and a half. And the doctor pulls out this chart and says, you could be even lighter by like another 10 pounds. And I'm thinking, how? Like, how is that? Like, at that time, I loved being light, but I'm even thinking, well, how's that even possible, right? Now you fast forward, what, 8 years later or whatever it is, and I'm 162 pounds, so I'm about 8 pounds heavier. I feel, so the body mass index is probably going to say I'm, you know, horribly at risk. Like, think about what the body mass index would say. But in terms of my athletic career, I'm equally as fit and as fast. I feel way stronger. I don't feel frail. I feel like my endurance is just as good. You know, I feel much better. And the body mass index would be, you know, freaking out, going, oh my God, you're way overweight, right? I'm 5'11 and a half and 162 pounds. So anyways, hopefully that sort of makes sense, right? That you need to take into a lot, you need to take a lot more into account than just what these numbers are, right? And it's the same thing with weight. And I know we talked about this in an earlier podcast. Weight is just a number, right? You could put a sack of flour on the scale, and if the sack of flour happened to weigh as much as you, well, the weight doesn't know the difference, right? It's just plop, you flopped number onto this scale. So my job, and any, you know, any really good healthcare professional, is going to take into account all of these things. You know, they're going to take account your physical activity level, your risk factors. Do you smoke? Do you drink a ton? Do you exercise very little? Do you eat terribly? How much body, your body mass, what is it made up of? Is it really high in muscle mass and bone density and really low on the body fat scale, or vice versa? You know, are you very low muscle mass, really high body fat, etc.? So hopefully that really indicates, you know, why the body mass index, you know, really is not, it's just not a way to identify yourself, right? And to create a body image for yourself, because that chart can so quickly go the wrong way, and you could be doing things pretty darn well, and that body mass index could say to you, well, you're way off the scale, right? So from a health education point of view, you know, I believe that it really is meant for kind of that wake up call scare tactic. But it can really, really backfire, right? Because for some people, fear does not necessarily motivate. Fear demotivates, and they just go, well, they throw up their hands and say, well, I'm a lost cause, so why even bother, right? If I'm so far off the chart, why even bother trying? So I really don't like those kind of generic charts, right? And you'll say, well, blood pressure is the same, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, blood pressure is a little more narrowed down in terms of research because, you know, blood vessels are blood vessels for the most part, right? Where a human body generally is made up of so much more in terms of its balance of muscle, bone, fat, etc. So the body mass index case closed on my end. I don't use it. If you want to argue the points with me, awesome. But in my opinion, don't use it. If you want to know how well you're doing, reach out to me, right? Let's sit down and chat about who you are, what you're made of, you know, what your lifestyle is like, and then we can get a better picture of you know, are you healthy or are you at risk, and you know, what directions we need to go. So thank you. I think it was Camilla, I think, came up with those questions for today, and they're certainly ones I could continue on talking about, but you've listen to me for long enough for today. So hopefully that clears up some of the questions. And please, guys and gals, if you have any questions, fire them off. If you have any comments, if you just want to get in touch, if you want to set up coaching calls, fire off an email to me, ccb.healthandfitness@gmail.com. This is the end of episode 28, 9, it'll show up when you download it. I'll get that one right when we actually download it. But yeah, so stay tuned. The next episode, we're going to talk about a really, really interesting but important topic called physical literacy, right? And I think in a nutshell, it really nails down what I'm trying to accomplish with the CCB Health and Fitness Program, and hopefully will enlighten you guys a little bit as well. So have an awesome day. Thanks for listening to whatever episode this is. But I am Ryan. Awesome talking to you. We'll talk again soon.